And it's more than a little weird to us that this fall we read two books in a row that mentioned jellyfish, jellyfish expert Angel Yanagihara, and distant swimmer Diana Nyad. But Diana Nyad is in all our imaginations. The first read, by the way, was the great new young adult book, The Thing About Jellyfish. The second was Diana Nyad's memoir in which she tries to survive them. This was in 2013, her fifth try in her 60s to complete what she calls the swimmer's Mount Everest, 110 miles from Cuba to Florida, 52 hours and 54 minutes in the water, her face bloated by sun, salt, life-threatening jellyfish. After hallucinating, she saw the Taj Mahal, and singing songs hundreds of times in a row, she finally lurched out onto the beach in Key West.
We should never, ever give up.
Diana Nyad's new memoir is called Find a Way. She joins us now. Welcome.
Robin, it's such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
How are you, first of all? You write about the feeling after making the Cuba swim. You walk around feeling a natural high. Every waking moment, you're alive. You've completed your dream. Does that stick, or is it like, you know, is it like an addiction? Does it start to wane?
You know, what sticks about it, it's not the completing of the dream. You know, hopefully, you know, I'm not going to be that Norma Desmond character, you know, who sits around late at night watching, you know, the triumph moment on the beach. I remember it. It was only 2 years ago. But honestly, Robin, what fills me is what I was looking for. I was looking to live life large again, that I had to tap every drop of courage, every ounce of potential, and everybody around me, the entire team, had to do the same. So that reawakening of living big and making sure that this life, you know, doesn't go quietly by is very much alive. It will continue until the day I die.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you first tried it in the 1970s. You got turned back each time for different reasons. All of them would have probably killed lesser people. But you mentioned the people around you. And that's one of the things that struck us. The people who literally turned their lives over to yours. Former girlfriends, Candace, Bonnie Stoll, who was a top racquetball player, who became your lifelong friend and your trainer. It's one thing what you do. It's another to see what other people do so that you can do it.
Well, they were inspired. You know, Bucko Pentelis was one of our kayakers. He's actually the head of the kayak team. And, you know, when we were going to go a fifth time, I said, Bucko, you know, do you want to go again? Is it weighing you down? Can you even take the time off work, et cetera?
Yeah, because they weren't paid.
Nobody got paid a cent. Yeah. And Bucko said to me, Diana, I repair air conditioners. And so to be out with you in this wild, epic wilderness with you, watching someone commit this way and needing me to literally protect your life, yeah, I want to go again. I can leave the air conditioning job aside for a little while. Yeah.
They were protecting you from sharks. You had divers that would literally swim around you, willing to put themselves between you and a shark. Then there were the jellyfish. I mentioned Angel Yanagihara, who's this world-renowned expert on jellyfish. You know, some of us have been bitten once or twice. You had full body bites. You swam through fields of them. How do you do that? How do you go in there?
Believe me, if you had ever been stung by the box jellyfish, you would know. This is the most potent venom on Earth. Paralyzes your spinal cord. You are in immediate anaphylactic shock. And even though, you know, we had a medical team, they're not used to dealing with this particular animal. We didn't even know they were out there. They have proliferated with global warming and the oil spill in the Gulf of 2010, et cetera. And I am very lucky to survive it. And I'll tell you the truth, Robin, I do believe that it was will. It was an iron will that allowed me to survive those stings. There was a resolve that was so strong that I somehow breathed through it, swam all through that night, all through the next day, and wham, was stung the next night at dusk again, and somehow survived that night. So I don't think I'm alone in this. I think almost all people, they may not know they have it, they may not be motivated to call upon it, but I do think it's part of us, the human race, to have very strong will. It had to be.
Well, and you reject some notions that people might have about another source of your will to survive. And we're going to take up a tender topic here, especially for your many younger fans, because you're very open in the book about your sexual abuse at the hands of your dad and your high school swim coach. Just we want to take a second with that. And by the way, your high school swim coach also went on to coach an Olympic team. His name is enshrined in swimming lore, despite the fact that you and other swimmers have made these allegations against him. You don't name him. We could. We could right now. Anybody can do a Google search and name him. Why don't you name him?
I think part of it was, honestly wasn't so much the legalities of it. I have named him before, right. But as I've gotten older, I just don't want to put his name in print. I didn't like the way it looked. He doesn't deserve that. First of all, he was never punished. So why even give him that credence today? He's now deceased, by the way. But you can't deny your history. It's somewhere deep down. There are triggers that bring up that anger and that self-hatred, frankly, that happens with sexual abuse of a child.
Well, you actually write about, you know, the misogynistic vitriol that he used to spit at you. You used to turn around and spit at yourself years later. You took in what you were told and used it against yourself.
Well, I hate to even admit it, but I could tell you that it's not a matter of used to. You know, as strong and as proud and as together and as happy and as privileged as I am today, I can go into those rages of self-hatred still. They can still trigger up every now and then.
But in the meantime, we just want to point out, you refuse to assign your nature, your will, the fact that you are so propelled to that abuse.
Oh, yeah, I rail against that.
Yeah.
You know, I was this strong character. Believe me, I would have been just fine without that abuse.
Right.
What I believe is that will and drive, these are qualities that come to us very young in life.
Well, let's turn to the things that do propel you when you're swimming, including Bob Dylan. Listen.
Oh, but it ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe.
Okay, so you write that one of the Indigo Girls actually was the first to tell you that your playlist that you have in your head all the time is in 4/4 time?
Yeah, had no idea. Emily Saliers was asking me, hey, I heard that you sing out there. You know, I mean, literally, I'm not singing out loud, but I don't use headphones. I have a playlist of 85 songs, Dylan at the top of the list. There's Joplin and Dylan and Neil Young and, you know, all those wonderful John Lennon, et cetera.
Let's listen to a little Neil Young, Needle
okay.
And the Damage Done. So you tell me how you're stroking to this. And by the way, this is in your head, not an iPad.
I caught you knocking at my cellar door.
Left arm. Left arm, right arm, ooh, the damage done.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that falsetto at 3 o'clock in the morning, that rocked my world. I would sing The Needle and the Damage Done 1,000 times, right to the last note of the song, the way he recorded it, and I would know exactly where I was at the end of a 1,000 Neil Young's The Needle and the Damage Done. And, you know, this might sound odd because there is a lot of suffering to this sport, especially in the training. Occasionally, with the joy of feeling you're actually swimming over the curvature of the Earth and the awe of this blue jewel of a planet that we live on, I'm not going to miss being cold. I'm not going to miss the box jellyfish. But the mind tripping out to the majesty of the universe. You know, to the, I pick up Stephen Hawking, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I read a sentence like, most astrophysicists today agree that before the Big Bang, all of the matter and energy that we know about in the universe, all of it, existed literally in the size of a millionth of a millionth of a penny. And then you're out there. You're tired. You're 30 or 40 hours into sensory deprivation. You don't have your eyes. Your goggles are fogged. You're turning your head 52 times a minute. Neil Young is buzzing into your ears, and you stop to take a drink that Bonnie's going to hand you, and you look up and see billions of stars, and you say, they used to exist in the size of a millionth of a millionth of a penny? Well, yes, they did. And so, you know, I'm going to miss being that tired and that loopy and being out there and taking in the mystery of this universe of ours, because you can't do it just sitting dinner with a friend.
Boy, we've run out of time. We didn't even get to ask about Lying on the Belly of a Whale, which you also did. That's Diana Nyad, her memoir, Find a Way. Diana, thanks so much. We can't wait to follow your next journey. Thank you.
Okay, good luck.
When you wish upon a star.
And this is the song that Diana Nyad's friend Candace finally got to sing to her as she struggled to the shores of Florida. She said it was the song that she wanted when she finished the swim from Cuba to Florida. She finally heard it. And by the way, did we mention that she was the first person to swim this length without a shark cage? I want what that woman is having. You're listening to Here and Now.
To